The second reading is from Romans chapter 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of our Lord. Grace and peace to you this morning from our Lord Jesus Christ, who invites us to a new breath and a new life. Labor pains and childbirth. Despite your gender or age, when those words are said, we all grimace a bit, don't we? These words are so universal to the human experience. How many of you have experienced birth? Yes. That is how universal it is. How many of you have given life in that birth? A few more. Yes, it's this universal human experience that even the Apostle Paul, a male, writing to a predominantly male audience, invokes this image of a uniquely feminine experience in that birth-giving. So what is Paul saying when he states that the whole creation and together we all groan as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time? What does it mean for the whole of creation to groan? And it is hard not to be enamored with that incredible VBS site that I have just the privilege of seeing at this point, and seeing that groaning, that movement, that lion or that tiger, all of the animals, but all of creation groaning. But through this female lens, the Apostle Paul seems to be referring to the groaning as painful waves of contraction and tightening and pressure that move us forward to a new life enlivened by the Spirit. It is our human default, I believe, for us to prefer a safe and comforting environment in which our needs are met and we are warmed and bathed with comfort and love. We would all prefer this in utero summer vacation vision of life. And indeed, as in the 9 months or so which precede childbirth, we benefit from seasons in our life when we simply enjoy calmness and comfort so that we can develop and grow. Yet, as the Apostle Paul alludes, it is also for our development and our growth and our adoption as disciples of Christ, for our cherished tranquility and perhaps even our complacency to be disrupted. As we navigate through life from birth to death, we will encounter challenges through our own choices and through no choice of our own as well. Some of us are born with physical challenges, yet all of us will experience those challenges as we age. Some of us are born with abundance, yet all of us will undoubtedly experience scarcity in various forms. Some of us are born with privilege, yet all of us, in one form or another, will experience discrimination. Obstacles, frustrations, disappointments, regrets, grief. We all inevitably groan with pain and discomfort. And sometimes we can lose hope. We simply want the pain to stop. And that's a lot like pregnancy and labor pains as well. How many of you, whether it was just a quietly held secret or a loud proclamation to family and friends, simply wanted to be done at 39 weeks of pregnancy? I had some women shoot up their hands. Yes, yes. You just simply wanted to be done after the back pains and the fatigue and shortness of breath and heartburn. Enough already. Hope can be lost as you become convinced that you will never see your toes again. And sometimes we simply want our life pains to stop. We want the heaviness of financial burdens, the exhaustion of relational problems, the rigors of medical treatments, the sleepless nights of grief, the shame of addictions, the conviction of self-blame, to simply stop. We can lose hope, convinced that we are alone in our pain, forever defined by and held captive by our pain. But the promise of the Apostle Paul's words is that in and through these waves of contractions, of pressures, of tightening, of challenges in our life, we are moved forward to see the hope of transformation and the promise of adoption as we enter into life anew through our faith. My favorite theologian, Richard Rohr, offers these observations. All great spirituality is about what we do with our pain. If we do not transform our pain, we will transmit it to those around us. And he adds, we dare not get rid of the pain before we have learned what it has to teach us. So in our groaning and our weakness, there is an opportunity for learning, for transformation, for growth as followers of Christ. Paul writes, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So in the midst of our pain and through our pain, the invitation is to breathe in the Spirit. Rather than a shallow gasping and wheezing that we can become accustomed to in our daily self-reliant sprint through life, the invitation is to slow down and to be intentional in our breathing, mindful in our breathing. And that reflection brings us to yoga, or contemplative breathing, however you would like to name that. In 2002, about 5% of American adults were engaged in the mind-body practice of yoga, and by 2012, that number has doubled to 10% of American adults and 3% of American children. How many of you have explored or engaged in the practice of yoga? Yes. 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 And that's more than chiropractic practices or meditation or massage and other natural therapies, as Americans seek practices to reduce physical pain and increase spiritual awareness. In yoga, there is an intentional, mindful breathing. And according to yoga experts, when we attend to our breath, it brings us to the present moment, increases our self-awareness, and brings a sense of calm and connectedness with the sacred. Breath is the means of transformation. So take a moment now to become aware of your breath. I hope you are all breathing in one way or another. Just be aware of your breath. Is your breath deep or is it shallow? Is it smooth or is it choppy? We can learn the art of soulful breathing by observing newborn babies. In newborn babies, their stomachs gently rise and fall as they breathe in and out. And as we get older, most of us breathe from our chest instead of our bellies. And in this chest breathing, we have a shallow breath, usually indicative of stress. So as you are now aware of your breathing, are you breathing from your chest or from your deeper abdomen, your belly? The invitation of yoga, of contemplative breathing, is to breathe from your belly, like newborns, taking deeper breaths to supply our bodies with ample oxygen to promote well-being. So are you ready? You know I always love interactive kind of sermons. So are you ready to take just a few minutes for some breathing? So what I'm going to do is simply ask you to inhale for 4 seconds, hold that breath for 2 seconds, and then exhale. Yes, it's hard. It is hard. We're used to running and sprinting and panting to still our mind and body and focus on breathing. Even 4 seconds inhale, hold it 2, 4 seconds out. Okay? Are you ready? If it's easier, you can close your eyes. Okay? So here we go. Let's inhale. And exhale. From your belly. One more time, okay? From your belly. Inhale. And exhale. Was that hard? No. It's just reclaiming what we knew intuitively to do as newborns. Now, let's add to our deep belly breathing a visualization from our Genesis reading. God made the earth and the heavens, forming man from the dust of the ground. And then God breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. What an intimate gift, shared divine breath. God is the source of human life, animating us spiritually and physically. So as you breathe in, see yourselves, imagine yourselves breathing in that divine breath of life, becoming enlivened and healed with the Spirit, that holy breath, that holy wind. Are you able to try yet? Two more breaths, that's all I ask. Okay, just two more breaths. So visualize that breathing into your nostrils and exhaling and into the rest of God's presence, okay? So four in, two hold, four out. Are you ready? Okay. From your belly, breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. How does that feel? A little calming, a little centering, a little connecting. Here's a prescription for you to try. When you feel yourself panting and wheezing in life, just take a short time out and breathe in just a few breaths at that divine gift from God, that divine breath. And if you are inclined, try simply 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, finding that peaceful space, being attentive of your breathing, and remember that reading from Genesis, as well as Romans, that we are all gifted most intimately with that divine breath. So waves of contractions, pressures, disappointments, and frustrations will disrupt our lives, leaving us groaning and panting in pain, and perhaps even losing hope. We have a choice: to remain limited and defined by our pain, or growing and being transformed through it by our faith in the triune God. So let me end with a quote from the poet William Hannon. I know this transformation is painful, but you're not falling apart. You're just falling into something different with a new capacity to be beautiful. So take a deep breath, and may your lungs and spirit be filled to a new capacity with a divine breath, connected and centered, knowing you are beloved and beautiful. And share that divine love and beauty with a waiting and with a groaning world. Amen.